It's wonderful to be able to hear a practical, down-to-earth teaching from God's Holy Word. Tony Broom Ministries invites you to the following session using Zoom Broom and audio technology. The title is, The Bible Speaks to Families.
Appreciate everybody coming in to the Zoom Room this morning. Thank you for taking your time. It means a lot to me that you would take your time to come in and be with us. God's Word speaks to us wherever we are. And we're talking about the family today. The Bible speaks to families. If you would think about where we are and what's happening in our nation right now, and you would think about the scriptures we're talking about today, you'd think, what in the world does this have to do with what's going on now? Seems like there's just so much a difference between what the Bible's talking about here and what the active scene that's going on in our nation, on the streets, and all the things that are happening, the bad things that are going on, the looting and the killing and the riot and protests and hate and upheaval that's going on in society. You would think, what in the world does that have to do with family? It really has everything to do with families, because the scripture teaches us that the family is a foundation of life, foundation of society. God created the family, and He provides direction for it through the Bible. So if we want direction for our family, we want direction for our life, we have to go back to the Bible. The Bible provides the direction. It provides everything we need. It would seem crazy to some people, oldie, timey, old fogey, to think, what do you keep talking about the Bible? Because the Bible is God's Word. The Bible contains God's Word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and it gives direction. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Your Word gives light. It gives direction. It gives guidance. Our golden text is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So the family is built on God's ordination of marriage between man and woman. And the foundation of the family goes back to the very beginning. God creating the first man and the first woman, bringing them together in what we call holy matrimony, bringing them together in a marriage, and now we have family, society, is built on what God did in the very beginning. The origin of the family does indeed go back to the beginning. And the Lord God said, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Every time that God made something, He said in Hebrew, Tov. And He would make something else, and He would say, Tov, that is good. And finally it says that the Lord made everything that He had made. He rested from all His works that He had created and made. And He looked on all the works of His hands, and behold, and this time He said, Tov ma'od. Behold, it was very good. Not only just good, but it was very good. Now, for the first time, God says, not good. The word is there in English for it to sound right, but actually in Hebrew, there's no is. It just says, not good. Lo tov. All the time now, He's saying, tov, tov, good, good, tov ma'od, very good, and now He says, lo tov, not good. For the first time, we hear God say, not good. Something is not good. And many times since then, He says, lo tov, not good. This is not good. It's not good that the man would be alone. I will make him a help meet, in English is M-E-E-T, a help meet for him. The expression konegdo is taken from the word neged, which means to be in front of or a counterpart. I will make him a help which is suitable for him. I will make him someone which can help him, which can make up the difference. And if this world had been left for men only, it would be a pig pen worse than it is now. So God makes man and woman and brings them together. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet or suitable for him. So he names everything. You wonder why an elephant is called an elephant, or a cow is called a cow, a dog is called a dog, or a cat is called a cat. Because our first parent, Adam, he named everything. And whatever he called it, that was what it was called. That was the name thereof. But there was no help. Out of all that, there was no help that was suitable for Adam. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. This word made he is yibin, is taken from the root word bana. It means not just to make, and it says in English, made he a woman. The Lord God made a woman. The rib that he had taken from man made he a woman. But bana is make, to build or construct. And so if you get mad if a man looks at you, if you're a woman, you get mad, and a man looks at you and he says, oh, bana, 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 bana. Well, that's taken from that Hebrew word, bana, 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 bana. It means to build or construct. God made you that way. And he took his time in doing it. He knocked Adam in the head and put him to sleep where he could really focus his time. God created man, but he constructed woman. He built her. She's built right. So they tell me, anyway. The Lord God made the woman, and he brought her unto the man. After all, you don't expect me to sit here and be dull and dumb with you, do you? You've got to have a little fun. The Bible's exciting. You can imagine when she was brought to Adam, he said, ooh la la. He probably said, bana, 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 too. This is now bone of my bone. That's what he said. And flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh, or they shall be one flesh. God brings the first man and the first woman together in what we now call marriage. And they come together, and they form this one unit, husband and wife, and they know it as a home, a marriage. And what a wonderful thing it is. This is what has caused the problems in our society today. It's not just the political parties, not just the difference in policy or law, but the thing that causes the problem in our society today is a breakup of home and marriage. The last verse of that chapter said, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because sin this time had not entered into the picture. This is the origin of the family. The family did not start from a tadpole. And we got Sister Mary in here, and she can sing that about the hole in the ground and the frog and the germ and all that. She can tell you about all that. But that's not where the family started from. That's not where it all started. We did not come from a monkey. Some people act like apes and act like monkeys, but that's not where we came from. God created us in his own image, after his likeness, and that's why we have family today. That's why we have man and woman, because we're made in the image of God. The origin of the family. And the family has responsibilities. The scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. Now that word lay up is an interesting word. Yasam means to put or place. To put up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand. That's like a ring. You have a word ring, word of God ring. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. That's the frontlets, that's the bands of God's Word between your eyes. If we would have God's Word between our eyes and in our heart and in our soul, we would have less time to get discouraged and get all covered up and oppressed and pushed down by so many things that are against us. So lay up these words, and we might say, treasure these words, and then you will teach them. You shall teach them your children, to your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The word of God was to have preeminence in the home life of the Hebrew, the Israeli family. And it should have preeminence in our family, of course. The word of God is that, not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just something that you hear about when somebody dies and the preacher preaches a funeral. That's what's happening in our society today. And we know less and less. Our society, we have more about technology. We have more about things in this world. We have so much knowledge and so much information, and things are happening, but we have less concerning God's Word. Our theology, our spiritual life as a nation is so superficial. It's so lacking. When America was built on the Bible, our nation was built on God's Word and Christian principles. And now people don't even know. They don't know what this monument, what this emblem, they don't know what this picture, they don't know what this person has done, they don't know who this person is, they don't know what kind of representation they've had. Even if you don't agree with the ideology of some people, you have to look back and say, look, these people have given their lives and they have done what they could to help to build the nation that we're in today. And so the Word of God had to be a part of their life. I want you to treasure it. I want you to teach it. I want you to talk about it. Talk about it when you sit in your house. Talk about it when you lie in your bed. Talk about it when you rise up. Talk about it when you walk by the way. And thou shalt write them, so we would say table them or write them upon the doorposts of thine house. Some of you might have a little mezuzah, you call it mezuzah, and the plural word is mezuzot. Write them upon the doorposts of your house, mezuzot, upon your gates. Write them, because why? You will see them. You will see God's Word. You will see a commandment. You might write on one side, you will have no other gods before me. You might write on the other side, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You might write on the side of the door frame, you will not steal. You might write on the living room, you will not kill. And everywhere you would put these words, he says, lay these words up. This is a responsibility of the family, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. If you want to be like heaven on earth, we have to get back to the Bible. We have to get back to God's Word and let God's Word have the prominence and the preeminence in our life, not only as a society, but we can't be too angry at society when we as Christians, we've swindled down on God's Word. We've piped down on God's Word. We've come down on God's Word, and we have traded it in to a bunch of entertainment, to a bunch of New Age religion, to a bunch of things that are popping today and out tomorrow, on and up and down and up and on and off and in and out. And we've traded the stability of God's Word for something that doesn't hold water, for something that doesn't mean a hill of beans. And God says, my Word will be in your heart, it will be in your soul. If something's in your heart, something is in your soul, you're not going to get it out. You're not going to do something. Somebody cannot pass a law that will stop you from praying. They cannot pass a law that will stop you from worshiping God, because it's in your heart, it's in your soul. You want your days to be like the days of heaven on earth? He said, go by my word. Chapter 30, verse 15 is not in the printed text, but it says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. So you have a choice to make. He said, I've set before you life and good, and death and evil. It's a no-brainer. In verse 19 of that chapter, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. It's a no-brainer. The choice is not hard to make. When you have a choice between poison and a T-bone steak, which would you rather choose? If you have a choice between life and death, you want to choose life. If you have a choice between blessing and cursing, you want to choose blessing. And that's the way it is with God's Word. We have a choice. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. The responsibility of the family is to go by God's Word and to choose the thing that is good. There is a choice we have to make now, and it's just as much a no-brainer, probably even more so, a no-brainer than the choice that Israel had to make. Israel had to make the choice of go by God's law or suffer the consequences. And you and I have to make the choice. Do we want to serve Christ, or do we want to continue to serve Satan, serve the devil, serve sin? You go to heaven by serving Jesus, and you go to hell by continuing to do the way that you're just doing. And our world, in large perspective, is on their way to hell because they refuse to serve God. Now, the direction of the family, and this starts in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This will take care of the family relationships as we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not that I'm right or you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. The thing is that we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And some people cringe when you read that. Oh no, here he is talking again about wives being subject to the husbands. Well, he's talking about Christian homes too, by the way. It's a whole lot harder to do it when you don't have a Christian home. But even if the other person is not a Christian or not living as a Christian should, we can still live as a Christian ourselves. We can commit ourselves to God, and we can serve God ourselves. And whether it's the husband or whether it's the wife, we're to submit ourselves to the Lord and submit ourselves to each other. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So just like Christ is the head of the church, we could say, I don't like to submit to Christ. I don't like nobody to be my head. I don't like nobody to tell me what to do. So we would refuse to submit to Christ as the church. That would be so unnatural. That would be so out of the ordinary, so out of order. And the church, those who are in the true church, they are submitting to Christ. They have no problem submitting to the Lord. That's the way it is in the home. The wife submits to the husband, and the husband loves the wife, because just like Christ is the Savior of the body, he's the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Because if we refuse to do that, then it takes it out of the order. Just like Christ, if we refuse to submit to him, it's so abnormal and unnatural to do that. Because Christ is our Savior, and he is our Lord. He has a right to tell us what to do because he died for our sins, but he also knows what's best for us. And you might say, well, I'm not going to submit myself to my husband. Okay, no, you won't, but you'll go to work and submit yourself to 20 other men who are there who you're not married to. So it's so out of the ordinary, it's so abnormal to be like that. And this is the way the world does. You look at the world, and they're talking about equality, and they're talking about racism, and they're talking about all this. You can't tell who's a man, you can't tell who's a woman. The women scream and holler just as loud as the men do, and the men sit around and don't say anything. It's just so out of whack. But that's not the way that Christians live. The church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now you notice that he did not say, husbands, understand your wives. Woo, there's no way we can do that, is it? The Lord has a hard time doing that sometimes. He didn't say understand them. He said love them. Love your wives. It's just like Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As we are washed by the water of the word and allow Christ to wash us off with the word of God, it takes away all those wrinkles, it takes away all those blemishes, and we sit there in the mirror and we try to take those little blemishes and pimples and all those wrinkles out. Maybe you let God wash you off with the water of the word, it takes all that out of our life, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing like that. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And that's the way we do. You don't hate yourself. You don't hate your own body. You take care of your own body. And that's what he's using, the illustration he's using, to say that's the way that we should take care of each other. That's the way that we should care for the wife. The husband care for the wife care for the husband, just like the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now in the beginning, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And here it comes around full circle again. We are now members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Just like Adam and Eve were members of each other. She's a member of my flesh. She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And that's the way it is with us, Christ and the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. We identify with him. We identify with him in his life. We identify with him in his death. We identify with him in his resurrection. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You leave and you cleave. You stick together like glue. And he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so it goes together, just like a smooth running oil machine. It just makes good Singer sewing machine sense to have a good home where you can have a shalom home full of peace and joy. It can be heaven on earth. It's the closest thing you can get to heaven on earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not just because I said so, but because it is right. This is right. Honor thy father and mother. Goes back to the same thing with the Ten Commandments, which is the first commandment with promise. This is the first commandment that has a promise. All the others said, don't put any other God before me. Don't make a graven image. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. It didn't promise you anything. It said, just do it. Do it or else. Now, this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. When we go by what God says, we have a promise of longer life. And that doesn't mean that everybody who loves the Lord is guaranteed to live 100 years. Some precious people die early. We don't understand all that, but if you want to live long on the earth as a family, as a person, as a nation, we have to do what God says. And this is the commandment with promise. Just by honoring your father and your mother, you stay out of trouble in the natural and spiritual too, but even in natural life, you stay out of trouble by honoring your parents and doing what's right. And here it says, honor your father and your mother, that you might have the promise. Your days may be long on the earth. And you fathers, it says fathers, but it's the masculine word for parents. It means parents. You fathers, parents, fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a timely message today, a lesson that speaks to us where we are, and it causes us to realize that God is the one who speaks to us individually, and the Bible speaks to families. Let God's word speak to our families today. Our families need to be touched by the power of God and the power of God's word. Father in heaven, let this word be our source and our strength. Let this word be the pillow on which we rest our head. Let this word be not only a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, but let it be the foundation on which we build our lives, that you care about the family. You are the one who originated the family. You give the family responsibilities, and you give direction for the family. There's so many things in this world that are so uneasy and do not have direction for our life. They do direct us in the wrong way most of the time. But your word directs us always in the right way that you would have us to go. And I thank you for the word of God today, for speaking to your people, to give us courage and encouragement to reach our families and our world for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a teaching session from God's Holy Word entitled, The Bible Speaks to Families. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord. He will speak to your heart and life this very day. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.